Please turn to page 849 and we will do the responsive psalm reading. O Lord, in David's favor, remember all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. The Lord swore to David a sure oath, and from it will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on the throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies, which I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit upon your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion and has desired it for God's habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless its provisions. I will satisfy its poor with bread. Its priests I will clothe with salvation, and its faithful will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but his crown will shine upon them.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. You can find this on page 286 in the Hebrew Bible of your Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along, and I encourage you to do that. Hear these words. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and all my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. It can be found on page 106 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A little bit out of the ordinary, you may have noticed that the scripture lessons are a little different from the way they usually flow. But let us flow to the very last book of the Bible, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. You can find that by flipping to the back cover of your pew Bible and coming back just a few pages to page 230. And there you will find these words. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And on His account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as we mentioned earlier, is Christ the King Sunday. It's also known, depending on your tradition, it's also known as the Reign of Christ Sunday. As you also may well know, today is the last day of the church calendar, and we begin our church year again next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent. Today is about the beginning and the ending and everything in between. Today is a chance for us to consider the majestic nature of God and how that is made manifest in Jesus Christ. I want to simply offer you today some beautiful words and images from the Bible to help you to understand and to savor the nature of our God. And I want you then to ponder the true meaning of Christ the King in your life, in the life of our church, and in our world. Psalm 93 is part of the lectionary for today, a part that we didn't read. And it begins in this way. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. It may be hard for us as 21st century Christians to have a full understanding of the Lord as King, but it was a familiar and powerful image of God throughout the Hebrew Bible to those people. In fact, throughout today's readings, we have a contrast between one of the Lord's most powerful and famous earthly kings, King David, and his successor to the heavenly throne, King Jesus. In his lifetime, Jesus, who we know as the Son of God, was reluctant to talk about himself as a king. Today's gospel lesson from John that Daniel read to us takes us once more to the end of Jesus' life, where he had that fateful encounter with Pontius Pilate. So Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is not a typical coronation speech from any human king, we might imagine, but it is absolutely in line with Jesus' true identity as Christ the King.
Well, because today is about beginnings and endings, permit me to read to you two other passages from Scripture. The very first lines from the Holy Bible and the very last lines from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then from the very end of the book of Revelation, "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let everyone who hears say, 'Come,' and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anybody adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anybody takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." How many of you knew those to be the beginning and the ending of the Bible? Me neither. Last Sunday was Bible Sunday, but I have a prayer for each one of you today, that you will read and study everything in the Bible from cover to cover if you haven't done so already. What a terrific New Year's resolution to read and study the entire Bible in 2013. It may be a bit confusing to hear Jesus refer to himself as the Alpha and the Omega. Well, you may be aware the Alpha and the Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And you may also be wondering about the image on the cover of the bulletin. Well, this is the Chi Rho flanked by the Alpha and the Omega. I looked it up from the University of Rochester Department of Religion and Classics, and it said this to say, "The symbol is the Chi Rho, and it is one of the earliest cruciform symbols used by Christians. It is formed by superimposing the first two letters of the word Christ in Greek, Chi and Rho. It turns out the chi is what looks like an X in English, and the rho is what looks like the large P. Although not technically a cross, the chi rho invokes the crucifixion of Jesus, as well as symbolizing his status as the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah. The earliest evidence of the chi rho symbol is the Roman Emperor Constantine's use of it on the labrum, the imperial standard, in the early 4th century CE. Lactantius, a 4th century Christian apologist, reports that on the eve of the Battle of the Milvian Bridge in 312 CE, Constantine had a vision of God, in which he was commanded to mark his men's shields with the Chi Rho symbol. After Constantine's success at the Milvian Bridge, the Chi Rho became the official imperial insignia. Archaeologists have uncovered evidence demonstrating that the Chi Rho was emblazoned on the helmet and shield of Constantine, as well as those of all his soldiers. Coins and medallions minted during Constantine's reign also bore the Chi Rho, and by the year 350 CE, the Chi Rho began to be used on Christian sarcophagi and frescoes. So a really important image, And I don't know if you've noticed it, but on the Christ candle that we've had on the Lord's table since last Christmas Eve, there is the Chi-Rho, Alpha and Omega. So it is a symbol all around us. Well, finally, let me end by reading again this beautiful passage from Revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. My sisters and brothers, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It is time to ponder and to discern the true meaning of Christ the King in your life, in our church, and in the world. Amen.